Major Notley, Reel 6. You're saying that you had a very long journey by truck all along the coast.
A really interesting journey because these were American Ford three tunnels which had come around the Cape, which was in the Mediterranean, for the First Army. And they were very, very uncomfortable because your back was rubbing up and down and the roads were completely potholed. So we took the seats out and sat on our billy rolls. And I was travelling with a chap called Bunny Martin, who was a grenadier. And he was a major, I was a captain, and he was quite amusing to me. And I remember going to a little club at Sidibarano, one of these places in the world, I can't remember where it was. Very attractive, and it wouldn't be white and then desert. And he and I were turned out as improper dress because we hadn't got ties. And that the grenadier just didn't go down very well. Anyway, we got so fed up with this convoy. There were two places we went to. One was called Ferryville, I think, where we got on the Yankee to the Yankee Craft. We went from there to a destroyer. Can't remember where it was, but we went overnight to Algiers in the destroyer, which interested me tremendously.
Having had naval ambitions.
Yes, and I never realised how unpleasant the destroyer could be. There was a smell of rexin, I was sick within the morning, so I was in the captain's take home. I don't know where Martin was, but he was the one I got over.
What was it that made you sick? Just the smell?
Yeah, I think so. And he's in the mud. He's called the Puckers, which is a hunt club. They're very nice and good. And we ended up in Algiers, where my accommodation was in a railway carriage. But some sort of a mess, you know. And we waited in the railway carriage. I waited until the truck from Montana came up. They knew I was there. And I went to Bougie, where the battalion was, having distinguished itself in the First Army. The commanding officer then was Sir Geoffrey Nelson. And he had taken over the battalion.
Had you met him before?
No, but he was dressed in and he was a great personal friend of mine. He had taken over the town, which was not in very good shape.
Why was it not in good shape? What had been wrong with it?
Well, I think the casualties and certain that. And in conscience, probably, I think so, yes. But things had gone wrong, and they had run up margins, and they had been casualties, and it really building up. The big draft came some of the personnel. And it was his job, really, which he did extremely well, to pull the town together.
What measures did he take to restore it and pull it together?
Well, I think he was a really good brain, and he knew every real on the staff of the 4th Division. And he was a faster man. So he had obviously got really good brain, and he was really putting up to a really good set of example.
What did he do with you when you arrived?
Well, then they wanted to do with me, but he was very nice, and he gave me a certain amount of the company, there wasn't very much to do now, and I was adjutant. Well, I didn't know what I'd do. I was the captain commander.
That was later on, wasn't it? Your 2IC first. What was the battalion actually doing when you joined it?
We were sort of recovering, I think.
Yes.
Getting the troops to go darts and very well prepared. I thought it was quite easy.
This is basic training, individual training.
Anyway,
yes. Now, when these drafts arrived, was there any difficulty in incorporating them into the battalion.
Not really.
No settling in problems.
Yes.
Did you think that made a big difference? Would it have been different if they'd not been light infantry of some sort?
Well, it did happen. We got gunners. That was long time after the
Turkish Yes.
And the gunners were spare their hand who would be able to do that. So they didn't hit me. So then, when we were in action, I said, really, I had two things I wanted to learn. One was to be able to fire the weapon and maintain it, and to give some idea of the use of ground.
Well, those are the basic infantry skills, aren't they?
Yeah.
To know how to use ground and to use your personal weapon.
But these are the air gunners who are all good chaps and they're good.
Did they learn quickly?
Yes.
So, to IC Company, what did you see as being your you said there wasn't much for you to do, but I mean, what did you do? What could you do as to IC of a company?
I used to go out and do the direct work and try and help with weapon training, which was the thing I knew taking the ground. I did the correspondence to the company, I did the company man was a chap called Ben Gelly, who was a fine Cornishman, and we lost touch with him, unfortunately.
Were you preparing for any prospective operations at that time?
Yes, we were going to Rhodes.
Yes.
But that came later. At that time, we went to Rhodes again.
So you were just reconstituting and training up?
Yes.
And Sir Geoffrey Musson was the battalion commander.
Yes.
Was there a point at which you could say, well, he's done it, you know, the battalion is now fit for action again?
Yes, probably could, yes. Mm-hmm. We went back to Kerbarat.
September, October, November.
Yes.
About 3 or 4 months.
Yes.
And he'd managed to turn it round.
That's right.
Yes.
So we spent 2 Christmases, one at Bougie and one at Kerbarat.
Yes.
Before we were doing the combined ops.
How did they get on with doing the combined ops? Did they take to it?
Oh, yes. I mean, yes. I was captured on purpose. I basically gave them a little joke when I was like, being there before. So they made me a prisoner. Sounds like
I mean, when you got back to Cabrit, were the same people there running it as you'd known before,
yes,
or some of them?
Some of them.
And presumably you could, you were invaluable to the battalion and
I was not
preparing for
yes,
this.
Yes, I think I was. Then I became adjutant, and we went to a camp. We were supposed to be going to Rhodes, we were in a camp just called Alwell, which was a normal place just outside Alexandria.
What was so horrible about it?
Well, I had pretty bad diarrhea. A lot of people got quite stomach bugs. I felt very solid myself, very sick.
Was that the first time you'd been ill on overseas service?
No, I had NYD.
Oh, you had NYD in India, but. Sounds like it was an unhealthy location.
I think it was, yes.
What were your duties as adjutant?
Adjutant?
Yes.
Well, he used to command the officers out as well, and he has to write orders, he has to prosecute court martials, which I had to do.
Did you have many court martials?
I can remember only one, I think.
Do you remember what it was about?
No, I know I prosecuted him, and I think I was successful. But I was quite good at court martials, and I've done a lot of India.
I see. Yes.
I was recognised as quite a good.
How did you get that? Get into that sort of way of doing things?
I was just interested, I think. In personalities of people on this event, and they're all really far and so forth. I thought the most wonderful form of justice. And today, I wish one could, the law would you'll run on those lines more.
I mean, it wouldn't provide so much scope for professional lawyers, would it?
Yeah. I've done all jobs in court martial, except this one.
Yes. Well, that's not really a job, is it? The way you've described the duties of adjutant, it sounds really rather like staff work, as if you were the battalion staff officer.
Yes. But generally speaking, I suppose some college would start conference and hire. We would normally train the adjutant to go to the staff college.
Yes.
And then, of course, you would not come back to train and go to the staff.
Did Sir Geoffrey Musson have a very formal style of command, or did he prefer to work in an informal way?
No, he was pretty informal.
I mean, there are various ways of issuing orders and so on. Yes. But did he prefer to issue his orders verbally, or did he have them done in writing?
Well, when I was sitting in a slip tank with him in Italy, I had to take the orders down and get them out.
Yes.
Which I wasn't awfully good at. I mean, I wasn't as quick as previous adjutant. Previous adjutant was the old one, he knew the architect, he was very neat, very quick. I wasn't that. But I did succeed as adjutant for good.
How long were you adjutant then before you?
Not awfully long. When we got to Casino, I was a second one in the company. I'd had to take a one in the company. And the rest of the time I was a company commander.
How much warning did you have that you were going to Italy?
Not a lot, I think.
But if you'd done amphibious assault training, it presumably it was obvious that you were going to make a landing operation.
Well, that was the idea.
Yes.
Roadster. We just went in a trooper called the Fisher.
Yes.
The Italians packed up.
Yes.
And we went to
Anzio.
No, a big port in the south of Italy.
Naples.
Naples.
Yes.
Everyone of these is Naples. And then we went from there up into the mountains, which was very pleasant, particularly in winter. We were sitting on one side of the mountain, Germans on the other, and there was always a truce that when food came up, we did not use our waters.
This applied to both sides?
Applied to both sides. But then there was either person who was from was a great waterman, and he used the water at an inconvenient time when the Russians came up, and the Germans used to fly, but they didn't always come on the guard, so they came up on us too. So that had to be corrected.
How did you correct that? It
wasn't too difficult. We had stomp targets, which were something that we knew they didn't like, and they knew why we were doing it. They thought it was quite water. But their waters were better than ours.
In what way? Are they more accurate or heavier?
I think they were about the same size, but they were very, very good water. They were good water. But we had to get the artillery to do it, because we could always do it.
What sort of things did you choose for that punitive purpose with your artillery? I mean, what sort of targets could you hit that would really hurt the Germans and make the point that you were really displeased?
The developer of the Russians here and so on. Those are some targets in the government. Or possibly somewhere where they've got tanks, but that wasn't so easy.
So you went in the Letitia, you landed at Naples, just administrative landing.
Yes, and then straight up.
Straight up by motor transport?
Yes, yeah.
And where was this Razorback Ridge that you were? Do you remember?
This was Mount Ormito. We were sitting on this Razorback.
Yeah. What sort of altitude was it?
It's only terrible, wasn't it? I think it's deep. I don't know, I suppose you are 4,000 or 5,000 feet on the other, possibly. Certainly higher than this country.
Yeah. What sort of positions did you have up on the
all
ridge?
All sign up pickets. We couldn't dig in very much, but we had these little stone pickets, two-man pickets, and I was able to see them.
Had you actually constructed these positions, or did you take them over?
No, somebody else had. Occasionally we came across a dead guardsman or something and had to remove them. But I mean, one was just sticking out of places, pretty unpleasant.
How long were you up on the mountainside?
I think it was very long, myself. I was agitated the whole time.
Where was battalion headquarters? You know, how far back from the forward?
Yes. Quite well there. Yes.
But did
it?
Yeah.
But it wasn't on the mountain. It was on a gate out of the area.
Yes. Yes.
Out of small arms fire.
What about your location as adjutant? Were you with attack headquarters forward?
Yes, I was a CO myself.
You were a CO of the company?
No, I was the adjutant.
Where was he to be found normally? Would he be?
He would be. We were sat there
on the mountainside.
Yes, we couldn't move. Mm.
And how far ahead of you was the front line?
We were, but the front line was the ridge, and then we were on the other side.
And you were how far below the ridge?
Oh God!
Trying to get an idea of the sort of layout of things.
It might have been 100 yards, it might have been slightly less to the top. I would think on the left, somewhere between 100 yards and 50 yards.
How was the battalion deployed on that ridge? Did you have two companies up and two back? Or?
Yes, I think we had two up and two back.
Mm. And they're all in Sangers?
Yes, and they probably weren't all Sangers, but they were in some sort of protection. Mm.
What was the weather like?
Some of us were drenched feet as well, things we had to wear.
What could you do about that?
Well, you could change your socks and powder on, and medical officers always going around. Mm.
Trouble with changing socks is you've got to have a dry pair, haven't you?
I know he came to see the commanding officer myself and was asking what the state of the battalion was, and he could help. And he gave a note to the commanding officer, obviously saying, what about John Monty's feet, but he knew all that was okay, but might have been bad. We changed our socks and we were cold.
Did you have any way of drying them?
Not really, no.
What about feeding under those conditions? How could you?
Well, the rations came up and they were all mixed up with tea and everything out of these boxes. They came up in boxes. We had the American K-Rash, which was quite good sometimes.
Mm. Were you able to get hot food forward?
Yes.
Was that cooked on the position or further back and brought up in the boxes?
Well, I think the K-Rash was able to eat itself, I think. Mm. And I think on the whole it was brought up somehow and we had hot food.
Did you engage in any offensive activities while you were on North on your turn?
And we lost one officer. Yes.
What were these patrols, fighting patrols, or were they?
Yeah, they were fighting patrols. Yeah.
What sort of strength?
Probably an officer and 10 men.
Did you have any success with those?
No. The Americans were the trouble. They used to make a hell of a noise. They were the closest. And they would go out and whether they saw it or not, with rockets and things, go out. So it was really difficult.
You were saying that you didn't have much luck with offensive patrols, partly because the Americans on your right were making a noise and the Grenadiers on your left were making a noise. What about the Germans? Were they active offensively as well? Or?
We never got attacked by the Germans, but we got mortared. I mean, as far as we were concerned, I'm quite sure that they did the thing. And as I say, we lost one or two. Yeah, we went up to jail, but we didn't take the prisoners.
Did you know who they were, the enemy on the other side of the ridge? Did you ever actually see their positions?
Not really, because they were on the hill facing us, and it was like there, you see, they were there, and we were there, and we never got over the top.
You didn't go and look over at all?
Yeah. I certainly didn't.
You mentioned you lost one officer on patrol. Did you have any other casualties?
Yes, we had a private time who was killed. I remember getting a few and he was dead.
What happened to him?
He was shot and he was killed by another bomb machine. That was the first tragedy we had. And he was dead. Yeah, went through that. That was very long winter, and I don't think we were there very long. I've got the history still, so maybe I can find something out by reading them up.
You mentioned that you could use your artillery to stop the Germans.
Yes.
When you called your artillery up, how long did it take them to respond normally?
Well, it's pretty quick. Mm-hmm. We had an FLO and federal hospital, but I don't know the one on the meeting.
Where would he be normally? The
FLO was always with the commanding officer. And as far forward as possible. They were very useful. And he could call on any artillery. And all guns are always put on a certain target and they're not being used.
Yes.
So, it's the best. They call it just get them going to the building.
But they'd be on DS, wouldn't they, when they weren't?
They're defensive fire, but yes. There's always a target.
Yes, a sort of reserve target. Where did you go after Monte Hornito? What was the next?
Casino was the next one I remember. I came out on the line. But it, I'm trying to remember. Well, after that, we went and fed that country with not much opposition. And then to learn a place called Tiddler, not I think we were opposed. And we were certainly opposed by the locals.
Really?
Tiddler, you know.
Why was that?
Flowers with flowers and
I was saying.
But I don't think after Monito there was very much fighting, and our main fighting was after Rome, when we were going up towards Casino.
How do you get on with the Italians generally?
They were extremely friendly. They were so pleased when they looked at Germans and Germans. And the Germans, I haven't seen a lot of things, Germans and Germans. The first time I saw death, there was a mortar bomb at first, and there was a family holding hands, and I think two of them had no heads. They were just lying flat like that. That was a German cemetery. It does that reason. The Italians were extremely friendly. Obviously, they were in the approach of England. There was always plenty to drink. And there was a very strong line, like cruise, which I think it was, if they were all produced as a wine, which is very like prunes, and it's fine, I don't know what to call them. But anyway, that's just something you could have skipped.
What about local supplies of food? Were you able to...
Yes, yeah. They always bring us chickens and things like that. Sheep, I don't think they're so keen on sheep, but I did go to one company model and I wanted to try this one. So it's not a sheep. It's over the mouth, and the thing went on feeding for about 5 minutes. And it's still oxen, we saw quite a lot of oxen all done. Plowing, you know, some of them were killed, you know, unfortunately, quite oxen.
You never saw any signs of sympathy with the fascists or the Axis powers.
No.
What was the next action then after going north from Ornito that you recollect?
Well, a good many. There was a great tragedy. Mm.
What did you, what opinion did you form of the Germans as an opponent?
The younger officer was very, very powerful, and they had tremendous, by far more than our one officer had. They were very good, and that's in the army, they were very efficient. Richard Nardo is another one.
Do you remember anything particularly about any of those actions? Do any of them stand out in your memory?
Yes, I remember my sergeant major in Coole. He was shot in half. Rhodes, who'd been band sergeant. And I proud to say that when we produced needles for the training center in Winchester, the chapel, I was able to dedicate a needle that my wife made. We were going through Corn, and it was very easy to set fire to Corn. The Germans had stutter guns in England, they had a very good light machine gun and a very good heavy machine gun, which is sightable actually.
Did they rely upon those as their main means?
It could be, yes, and their mortars. Mm-hmm.
What about their artillery?
Well, their artillery very often were in the form of a tank. It was an 88mm tank. The top, the whole thing was dug in. They were like bullets coming to the ground. It wasn't really a tank. It was part of a tank, but then it was able to move.
It was just the turret from a tank on a mounting.
He had a Churchill tank, it was an infantry tank, very slow. It had a very low profile, which is good. And the guns on it went all out, but they gradually built bigger, bigger ones. And eventually we relied a lot on the SP gun, self-propelled, which was something 105mm, it was a British gun, mounted on an armored chassis, that was very good. And, of course, we had our air guns, but...
Were they used to support you?
Nothing in the upshoot there.
Did you see anything of friendly aircraft?
Oh, yes.
Did you get effective close air support?
Not. And I remember, except when I was a prisoner of water, I tell you about it. I didn't remember that very much, no. But I'm sure we had it.
But you weren't troubled by Luftwaffe?
No.
So the Germans, effectively, you're saying, were using tank turrets dug in, and machine guns, mortars, and mortars.
Very efficient machine guns. Very good sort of tactical positions. Not too many chaps around. Very efficient.
How did their positions compare to the ones that you might have constructed on the same ground if you had been defending?